Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for Ask the Mayor. Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop will be joining us in just a moment to answer your questions about city issues of concern to you. We're having a little bit of trouble getting a mayor on the phone right now, but we expect him to be with us momentarily. The phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor McKillop are toll-free 877-285-9348. And a local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. If you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone number to call is toll-free, 877-285-9348. The email is mayor@indiana.edu. And Mayor McKillop, are you with us?
I sure am. I got patched in late. Just let me make sure. Is this Adam?
Yes, sir.
All right. I thought the voice sounded familiar. I knew it wasn't Will.
Yeah, we sound a little different.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad to hear that we're ready to go. So let's jump right into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So we had some good news earlier this week, about the Wildcat Walk of Excellence. Phase 2 is going to move ahead. The contracts have been finalized. What was the holdup?
Well, it's a big project, and there's federal money involved, and the federal money passes down through the state. It's grant money, and whenever, rightly so, whenever there's large amounts of federal taxpayer-funded dollars involved, there's a lot of hoops that have to be jumped through and a lot of I's that have to be dotted and T's that have to be crossed. And quite frankly, some of the people who were involved early in on the project had never been involved in something of this magnitude, and so I think that early on there were a few mistakes made, but bottom line was, it was just getting all the documents approved. You know, there was a change of administration in Indianapolis right in the middle of the project in terms of state government. So everything on these federal projects was pretty much halted for a while and had to then be restarted. And so we're about 3 years beyond where I wanted to be, but it's back on track. You know, as you well know, Adam, I'm not one to look back. Now it's back on track, and next year our residents are going to have another section of beautiful walk paths to go down, so that now they can walk from really west of the downtown area, about a mile and a half, all the way east almost to the bypass, passing through the downtown and through several parks, and walk along the creek and over some bridges. It's just going to be a beautiful amenity for our community.
It's going to be about 2.2 miles all in all, correct?
All in all, that's right. Right, about half of it's already done and used heavily, I might say.
Can you give us a better sense of a more detailed sense of what it's going to look like?
Yeah, it's going to be spruced up more than the typical trail in this area has been. It's a blacktop trail, much like the Monon is down in Marion County for folks in Hamilton County that are familiar with the Monon. Not quite as wide. It runs along the creek, so you can imagine there's beautiful trees, and there's going to be benches placed along the path at strategic points, and a little bit of lighting, not a lot. It's primarily a daytime walk path, and it's going to actually bend through the downtown area, staying as close to the creek as possible, and have there's little areas along the path where we're going to have little rose gardens and flower gardens, so that it's not just trees and grass. So it bends and winds, so it's not just straight. So just beautiful path for joggers or walkers or rollerbladers and anybody that wants to get a little exercise and enjoy our community.
When do you expect construction to begin, and will it impact infrastructure in any way that you want to let Kokomo residents know about?
There's some places where it crosses city streets where we may need to close the street for a day or two to get the proper markings in place, but there's no infrastructure developments that I'm aware of that would cause major street closures or anything like that. There should be some construction started this year. This is phase 2. We've actually already done phase 1 and phase 3. So I would hope we'll see some construction starting this year.
Well, we look forward to hearing about that as it gets going. Let's move on to the issue of the use of EDIT funds, that is Economic Development Income Tax funds. You have filed a plan with the county to an updated plan in terms of the allocation of those funds. A ruling from the Indiana State Board of Accounts requires the mayor's office, if I understand it correctly, to seek appropriation from the city council as far as those use of those funds is concerned. Will you make a formal appropriations request to the council, or does the use plan filed with the county, is that one and the same?
No, it's different. I mean, first of all, let me make a little correction there. The Kokomo Tribune misreported, and their reporter Scott Smith misreported that the State Board of Accounts had made a ruling. That's not the case. The State Board of Accounts audits the city's books every year, and as they do other cities. And for 3 years in a row, the three audits that my administration have had, they've all been what are called unqualified, which means no problems found, excellent audits. And that's following 10 years of the city of Kokomo having qualified audits, which means there were problems inside with, you know, what they found going on inside City Hall. So ours were unqualified audits, and in those reports there are always comments about how you can further improve the operation of government. One of the comments in there for the last 2 years running has been that the State Board of Accounts believes that the edit funds that have been spent on economic development projects in Kokomo should have been appropriated, and the facts are they were appropriated. They were appropriated, and we pointed this out to the State Board of Accounts, they were appropriated in a very large appropriation and ordinance in 2004. And certainly, and the updates I have made that were submitted the other day to the county, I will then go forth to the council for appropriation. But that is not legally necessary. There are some cities that we've talked to across the state where the council's not involved in the process at all. The edit funds are used at the mayor's discretion. And, in fact, I talked to one of the gentlemen that worked for the Orr Mutz administration when some of this legislation was enacted, and he said it was always put in place under the understanding that the mayor would have control of these funds to do the voters' will in terms of economic development. But the tradition in Kokomo had been that the council was always made aware of the use plan, and then appropriations were taken to them. And I did that, and I will do it with these also. But legally what's required is that the mayor has to file the edit use plan with the county. So the paper got it wrong, as did one of the councilmen who stated that I legally had to file it with the council, and that's not the case. But we will be taking, short of it is, we'll be taking appropriation ordinances to the council for some important things. One is to fund the help fund the merger of our economic development groups.
Sure, let's talk about that a little bit. You've proposed a $50,000 appropriation for that. Why is that merger significant to the city, such that the city should contribute to that effort?
Well, first of all, the city drives economic development in Howard County, and we all know that. That's common in any county, that the primary city drives economic development. We've always been the major funder of economic development in Howard County. If you look at what other entities contribute, they're all helping out, but the city has always been the major contributor. But it's important to our community because we have some 10 or 12 groups, if not more, who all work on some facet of economic development in our community. And today they're all communicating well together, but the bottom line is they've all got different strategic plans. They're not all necessarily rowing the boat in the same direction. You know, one oar may be a little bit off with one organization versus the other. And bringing all these groups under one umbrella will ensure that all of these 10 or 12 groups are working on the same strategies, the same plans, with the same end point in mind, everybody rowing the oars of the boat in the same direction, so that Kokomo gets more bang for our bucks. And that's why it's important to our taxpayers. We invest an awful lot in economic development. We want to make sure that we get the greatest return possible for that. And to be honest, Adam, our local businesses feel the same way. Our business leaders are being asked to donate to 10 or 12 different organizations. They're being asked to sit on the boards of 10 or 12 different organizations, and they don't have the energy or the time to do that. So this will make it easier for our businesses to donate to economic development and for key business leaders to sit on one board rather than 10 boards.
And that funding would go, and correct me if I'm wrong, would largely go to pay for someone who would essentially serve as an interim CEO to facilitate the merger of all these organizations into this one umbrella group.
That's correct. We're following a model that's very similar to what West Lafayette and Lafayette did. And now, I did not appropriate $50,000. The Edit Use Fund just is step one of the process. Mm-hmm. I put a maximum limit right now of $50,000. My recommendation and what I'll submit to the city council would be not that they appropriate all of that $50,000 initially, but rather that they appropriate it in pieces as the new organization needs it. And there is a phase of this which is kind of the negotiation phase on how these organizations are going to come together. There will be a temporary CEO, if you want to call it that, to help mediate the process. And this would go a long way in helping to pay that mediator during the interim time as the organizations are brought together.
Last I heard, the Convention and Visitors Bureau had opted out already of the proposed umbrella organization. Why do you think that is, and are there any attempts to try to change their mind?
Those attempts have gone on for some time because the Visitors Bureau has made it known for the better part of a year that they had some concerns about this, as did all organizations. I think, obviously, like so many people, I was disappointed because I think the Visitors Bureau plays a huge role in economic development. Their primary mission is tourism. But, I mean, fundamentally, one of the reasons is a new board came in 3 years ago, and they have done a wonderful job of putting together a very good strategic plan for the Visitors Bureau, something that, quite frankly, the Visitors Bureau did not have and did not do too well in the past. But they've got it. They're executing on their plan. They believe it's working, and they want to see more results from their own plan before, you know, they consider merging into a larger group. So from their perspective, I can understand it, but I really think that, you know, they are one of the largest pools of money, and that certainly their expertise could help in marketing this community and driving more visitors into our community by being under the umbrella. And I'm still hopeful that as this process continues that they'll reconsider, or once it gets started and they see the results that the new combined organization is getting together, that they'll decide that they'd like to join the group too. So the invitation, I think, will always be open to them, and I don't think there'll be a lot of pressure put on them. We'll just let the results speak for themselves.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop today. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor McKillop is toll-free, 877-285-9348. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. We do check that email throughout the show. Mr. Mayor, let's move on to some of the other uses you've proposed for these edit funds. One of them is for citywide tornado alert sirens. Now, I think that a lot of our listeners outside of our Kokomo listening area would be surprised to know that Kokomo doesn't have citywide tornado alert sirens at this time. Is this an idea whose time has really come?
Well, it's certainly an idea that our residents are saying they want. You know, if we could get weather radios in the hands of every one of our residents, I believe that would be a better solution for everyone. But that's a very difficult process to manage and ensure happens. And Kokomo does not have citywide sirens. Some residents have been asking for it. And during the budget process, the city council made it very clear to our EMA director and to our fire department that they thought sirens were a good idea. They just didn't want to fund it out of property taxes. So by me putting this item in the edit use plan, it now opens up the possibility for the council to fund this project through our economic development income tax. So, again, just because I put it in the plan doesn't mean it's going to happen. This just now starts the process. I'll submit an appropriation ordinance to the council, I hope, at their next meeting, and hopefully the city council will see that this would be good for the city, and if they appropriate it at their next meeting, we'll be able to have these sirens in before the end of the year and have them in place so that by next spring, when we move into tornado season, our residents will be more protected than they are today.
Indeed, weather radios can really help out, but the fact of the matter is, especially during tornado season, a lot of folks are outside.
That's true. But there's also complaints. We do have a couple sirens in town that a local manufacturer has put in place around their facility. But, you know, my EMA director has told me that you get equal complaints from people that can be asleep or inside when the tornado sirens go off and for some reason don't hear them. So there's pluses and minuses to every technologies, but I think this certainly helps. But we don't want to have happen what we've seen happen in other counties, and that is that we put these sirens in and there's no group responsible for maintaining and testing them. So if we put them in, we've got to then make sure that every year there's a few dollars allocated in either the MA budget or the fire department budget to properly test and maintain the sirens.
Are there any other changes in this amendment to the edit use plan that you'd like to highlight for us? There's about $250,000 proposed for beautification of the courthouse square.
Yeah, and that one's been out there for quite a while. I think the council has already made it clear that, at least for now they don't want to touch that one. So we probably will not submit an appropriation request for that, but I wanted to leave it in place in the plan because I believe it's good for the community, and that's something I committed to do for the community. So I wanted to leave that in. Another important thing we funded was our government access television channel known as KGov2. The city council didn't provide any funding for that during the budget process. So again, I have now opened up another avenue by which we can continue to produce shows and get those out on the air. So I put $100,000 in the edit use plan so that new shows could be filmed and produced and put onto our public access station. And I'm hopeful that, again, the city council will appropriate part of that. I would never ask them to appropriate all of it. It should be on a project-by-project basis.
One of the things that you've proposed for the courthouse square are things called bump-outs. What are bump-outs?
Well, in our case, these bump-outs are you go right to the four corners of the courthouse square, and it would be building an area, a kind of a roundish design that sticks out from the corner on which some landscaping and some artwork could be put in place. And it's really not my idea. I can't take the credit for it. It's several business leaders in the community who have seen the developments downtown, things that happened under the prior administration and under our administration that have really taken our downtown forward. And it looks great, except for the courthouse square. If you come to downtown Kokomo, you'll see the square itself, which is not city property, is for the most part county property. It looks pretty bad. There's no flowers. There's, in fact, what trees and bushes were there have, for the most part, been cut down. So it's an attempt to really bring the courthouse square up to the standards that the rest of the downtown has set, and some local businesses have already raised some money to produce some artwork to go out on the corners of the square, and it'll help, you know, a little bit on downtown visitors and tourism. So it's just something that's good for our community to have and to be known for.
Indeed, the courthouse square is generally the traditional downtown core of a number of Indiana communities, and we certainly hope to see some improvement there.
Right. The outer parts of the square are fantastic, that are city property, and in fact, even this year on the inner part, we took down the old's maybe not the right word, but the very unstylish lights that were around the inside of the square, took them down and put up some of the lights that matched the rest of the downtown that looked more like, you know, the old traditional gaslight district type of lights, and similar to what Westfield and Carmel and some areas like that have. So, and we put baskets on them for holding flowers, and so you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression to reviewers. Our downtown is fabulous, better than most Indiana downtowns, but the courthouse square itself is badly in need of improvements. And this is just an offer the city has made and our businesses have made to the county, who's actually responsible for that property, to say let's spruce it up and get it up to Kokomo standards.
We've got about 10 more minutes of Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop's time today. Mr. Mayor, the city of Kokomo is going to be making a big change soon in terms of the processing of its wastewater. And as I understand it correctly, it has a lot to do with the cost of lime. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, this is something, Adam, that we've been looking at for several years. The lime costs continue to go up, and lime has been used in our process to, let's just say, clean the waste, basically, that comes into the wastewater treatment plant for many years, long before I was mayor. But the cost keeps going up and up and up. So we started a project to look at what other technologies were there that would allow us to get out of that area of cost. And at first, we were looking at what could be done to possibly just haul it to a landfill or some other lower cost effort like that. And we got some proposals in, and the savings were not as much as we had hoped they would be, so we negotiated with the company that today hauls the what's called Class A sludge out, and the Class A means it's been treated with the lime and is, you know, is I guess you could say as clean as possible and ready to be farm applied. We're now going to produce Class B sludge, which does not require the lime, and this hauler is going to haul it off and take it to his facility out in the county, where it will have then a beneficial reuse that it can be applied to farmland in the area. So it's not only saving the taxpayers' dollars, it means that we'll continue to have our sludge used in beneficial reuse as a fertilizer and mixture that farmers mix in with their soil.
Your administration had looked at the possibility of just dumping that sludge into landfill. Why
right.
was that eventually turned down?
Well, we got the bids in for the hauling of that, for removing it from the facility and hauling it off, and it was just too expensive. It did not produce the kind of savings that we had hoped for and was going to require us to invest in some equipment that just drove the price up to where it's not feasible. So, and to be quite honestly, I think communities need to be thinking about the environment. Anytime
sure.
we can take something and reuse it and not increase the cost of the taxpayers, you know, we should lean that way. So this allows us to continue to be, I'll call it a green city, and recycle something that's a waste product into something that's beneficial to the farmers.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this does leave some equipment that the city has had recently purchased somewhat in a state of disuse. So is this going to be a permanent situation?
Oh, I would expect so. And recently purchased, it's been purchased, I would say, seven years ago. So that's not real recent. But sure, I mean, if it makes more business sense to shut the piece of equipment off and not use it, I've got no issue with that whatsoever. It's the right thing to do, and we will do it. And, you know, at the time that decision was made to purchase that equipment and use it, our wastewater plant was being run by out-of-town consultants. And, you know, I don't know why they made the decision, but I think it was a poor decision. In fact, I know our employees at the time thought it was a poor decision, and now that our employees are back to running the plant and doing a great job, we're going to do this because it's right for the taxpayers.
Mayor McKillop, certainly a topic that's been on many Hoosiers' lips over the last couple of days has been this strike with United Auto Workers that apparently seems to have come to a close this morning, at least for the time being. And Kokomo is an auto town, and although the strike did not, as my understanding, affect the city directly in the last couple of days, I'm sure it has to be a topic of discussion. What do you think, could you summarize some of those discussions you've had with folks in the last couple of days?
Well, it is a topic of discussion because, one, our second largest employer, Delphi, still supplies an awful lot of parts and equipment to General Motors, and this town is full of people who are retired from General Motors, both union and non-union employees who live and contribute to our community based on the pension checks that they get. And certainly the big talk was health care,
mm-hmm.
because that's what the contract talks were really coming down to, is how health care for the union retirees was going to be handled. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about it. I think everybody was on pins and needles, and we're glad to hear that there's a resolution. I don't know yet what that resolution is, but regardless, we know changes are coming, and whenever there are changes like that, a lot of people are going to be watching very closely and get concerned. But, Adam, we know it's a nationwide problem, and even city government has it, and that is the escalating cost of health care, not only for active retirees or active employees, but retirees. And it's a very big budgetary problem for our city and cities across the state likewise.
Is there ever a role for the mayor's office to play in trying to assist with union negotiations, even when they're happening at the national level, in terms of the way they happen locally?
Well, there can be. In this case, there wasn't, because we don't have any
sure.
General Motors facilities here. But, you know, let's just talk a little bit about when Delphi announced the reorganization a few years ago. A mayor can either sit on his hands and do nothing, or a mayor can get engaged and talk with the executives involved and find out how the city can help. And That's what I chose to do when Delphi announced the reorganization, and that's what Governor Daniels chose to do. In fact, we both met with executives here in Michigan multiple times to let them know that Kokomo was open for business. We're a pro-business state, and we were going to do everything we could do to help Delphi be profitable. And so certainly if we had had a GM plant here and there was a strike or union negotiations going on, I would want to have some involvement. I would not be the kind of mayor that would sit on my hands.
Well, with that out of the way, we can get to talking about something really important, which is that the Padres picked up a win last night. And that means that Kokomo's own Joe Thatcher also picked up his first win in the major leagues.
Well, I am thrilled about this for the city of Kokomo and Joe, but I'm also especially thrilled because I know his dad, Phil, well, and I know his dad's got a smile going from ear to ear, and there's everybody in Kokomo is very proud of the Thatchers, and we're going to keep watching. I'm just thrilled to death, and you know it's especially neat because Phil flies or drives to almost every one of his son's games. And now he gets to get, you know, first he gets to see him in the big leagues, which was something that he always wanted, and now to see him pitch a game like that, what a joy for him. The whole city's very proud.
Mr. Mayor, we've just got a couple of minutes left in the program. Are there any issues coming up in city government or things happening around the town of Kokomo that you'd like to let our listeners know about?
Well, there are. There's a couple events that I want people to be sure and come out for. First of all, I've declared this. We've got a pink ribbon event because it is a Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we've got an event on October 6th, which is a Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at our UAW Local 685. We'd like folks to come on out and participate in the pink ribbon event, and we'll have the pink balloons, and it's just an important time to come out to help us fight cancer. And this weekend in downtown Kokomo on Friday night from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we have our annual Oktoberfest. So I'd like people to come from all over the state, enjoy some German food, some German beverages, and German crafts. We're going to have a Volkswagen VW Beetle car show, our snow plow art contest where the schools have decorated our snow plows. All the plows will be out on display, and we're going to have good old German polkas and waltzes for people to dance to, a German band. And so just come on down to Kokomo. It's supposed to be a beautiful weather this Friday night, and enjoy a classic part of Kokomo.
Well, we hope that's enjoyable for all those who attend. Anything else you'd like to bring up while we have time?
Well, I'll just go ahead and talk about a few other things.
Sure.
While you're here in Kokomo, drive through Highland Park. It's our best park that we've gotten, one of our biggest parks in the park system. We've put in a lot of new landscaping. We've erected a brand-new nice gazebo right beside the creek where people can relax and watch the creek and see the ducks and the geese. And we've also got a big project going on the west side of town, a new fire station that is being built. Drive by and take a look at it. I think our residents will be amazed at the progress, and we're getting that fire station at absolutely no cost to the taxpayers, which is always good. And I already mentioned that our city government got a very good state audit for the third year running, and so just a lot of good things going on in Kokomo. And go to our website, cityofkokomo.org. We've just put some new videos online that highlight all the great things about Kokomo. And if you're a resident, it'll make you even more proud of Kokomo. But if you're listening to this show today, I guarantee it's gonna make you want to come and visit Kokomo, because if you haven't been here in 5 or 10 years, Kokomo is a very different town than it was then, so come back and visit us.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, Mr. Mayor.
Sounds great.
Matt McKillop, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you,
This
Adam.
Has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again next Wednesday, October 3rd. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong will be a guest. And for producer Colin Bishop, engineer Mike Paskash, thanks so much for listening.